I'm sorry, do you go to those things?
I don't.
Do you go to those things?
No.
It seems strange. It's like a bad thing to do when you're drunk. I don't know.
There's all this one's axe and knife.
Very funny.
You can sit on the couch. It looks extremely comfortable.
Yeah.
It actually is extremely comfortable. Someone might sit in front of you.
Is this open?
Yeah. You can, yeah, you can sit as close as you want. Can I sit
on the couch?
Yeah, sit on the couch. Yeah, I don't really want to say too much before this one, so we're just going to kind of... Yeah, get comfy. It is going to be more of like, Eric and I are going to play cross-faded. We're going to get cross-faded. No, we're just going to kind of play for an hour. So that's kind of the vibe, just so that people know what to expect. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. broadcasters, radio sound, like classic rock, Q104.3 or Z100, versus guard band buffer frequencies of static, next to their desired station to avoid signal interference. French colonialists quickly discovered the voice of free and fighting Algeria and began to both jam its transmission and craft black propaganda. Many believe the station's lead broadcaster and member of the Algerian National Liberation Front was the influential Franz Fanon, who wrote, quote, "Imperfectly heard, obscured by an incessant jamming, forced to change wavelengths two or three times in the course of a broadcast, the voice of free and fighting Algeria could hardly ever be heard from beginning to end. It was a choppy, broken voice. At the end of the evening, not hearing the voice, the listener of the resistance would sometimes leave the needle on a jammed wavelength of produced static. in a dialect of the endangered language Mixteco. A voice calls out from low-powered 94.1 FM. Hello, my people. Good morning. Throughout Ventura, California's row crop farms, the station has become a rare pocket where people who speak a variety of indigenous Central American language can receive news, music, storytelling, and PSAs about immigration rights, agricultural labor laws, and what to do during an ICE raid. The station explains, quote, "As we train farm workers who speak other indigenous languages as volunteer DJs, we expand our language base and reach, connecting other isolated indigenous families to services and programs that they would otherwise know very little about." Al-Quds Radio helped direct the first Palestinian uprising, coining itself as the, quote, "voice of those who have no voice." "Hey kids," says the DJ, "do you want to improve your stone throwing at Israeli soldiers? Pick smooth, round ones that will fly better. But if you want accuracy, using a slingshot is of best. And remember, the stone is sacred. Use it well." By this time, Palestinians detained in Israeli prisons had the chance to listen to this sonic resistance. Starting with a 13-day, 100-person hunger strike within the Junid prison in Nablus, the demand for radios to be allowed in Israeli prisons was reluctantly met. Hanoi Hannah made popular broadcasts during the Vietnam War, pressuring U.S. soldiers from leaving her country. In Myanmar, following the 2022 military coup of the democratically elected government, an anonymous pro-democracy collective named Operation Hanoi Hannah similarly started using sound design, music, and dramatic theater to pressure military junta into abandoning their posts. The collective broadcasted from the unlicensed Federal Radio 90.2 FM, who also program international news, tributes to protesters, and revolutionary poems. In Myanmar, young citizen journalists have made the turn to radio because the military has cut the internet. To avoid getting caught, Federal Radio 90.2 FM dismantles their equipment daily. Each member takes one piece to a safe location where they store it, and they never broadcast from the same place twice. On August 4th, 1938, the Nazis implemented a law that prevented Jewish businesses from manufacturing, selling, or repairing radio devices. 1 year later, the Nazis prohibited German and stateless Jews from owning or using a radio. Meanwhile, a network of Polish women that people referred to as human radios use false papers to conceal their Jewish identity and courageously travel from ghetto to ghetto broadcasting news of the resistance. 24 large antennas, a tin whistle, a conch shell, and an accordion. The sound artist Pauline Olivero started bouncing sounds off the moon in 1987. This practice was first developed through wartime spy efforts, and more recently has been key in the search for extraterrestrial life. For radio waves traveling at the speed of light, the 500,000-mile trip to the moon and back takes about 2.5 seconds. Though Olivero's notes quote, "The signal going to the moon sometimes gets lost in galactic noise." Hey, pirate women, what are you cooking today? I'm airing subversion the radio way. Excuse me, Galway women, play a pirate this day. Join on the free airway. This radio jingle aired from a kitchen in the west of Ireland in 1987. The artist activist Margareta Darcy started radio pirate women with a reach of 2 miles and defied the then new broadcasting laws. Margareta reflected, quote, "It could be looked at as a ridiculous bit of play because in all probability more women were talking on the radio than were actually listening. But it did prove one thing. The sense among women of starvation, of never being listened to, overcame their fear of being penalized for talking or singing into a microphone. The only form of control we imposed upon a broadcasting was our agreed-upon rule of procedure that any woman could express herself in any way she wanted. And while women could disagree with what she said, they could not stop her." partially blinded, Mbanda Kentako started broadcasting radio sound from his public housing complex in Springfield, Illinois. In 1986, the station was the voice of John Hay Tenants Rights Association, but soon morphed into Black Liberation Radio. Interviews with police brutality victims, an alternative 6 o'clock news, live police scanner playback, and conscious hip-hop. Noam Chomsky was even interviewed once. From Kentucky's living room, with only a watt of transmission, a radius of just 2 miles, Black Liberation serves 70% of the African American community in Springfield. With startup costs exceeding $100,000, the Federal Communications Commission, the gatekeepers of the airwaves, require broadcasters to facilitate a minimum of 100 watts of transmission, which prevents many potential radio voices. 3 years into Black Liberation Radio, the FCC knocked on Kentucky's door demanding that he stop broadcasting or face a fine. Kentucky refused. He said, quote, "They call our broadcasting controversial. We call it survival."
There's some interesting stuff going on.